Well, hey there. It's October 31st, 2007, and this is Deb, the horoscope lady, asking you, do you know where your planets are? This is a sidereal astrology show, and that means we actually look at the planets where they are against the backdrop of the stars and not the seasons. For instance, the sun right now is about the middle of Libra. Jupiter is in Scorpio. Pluto is in Sagittarius. Neptune is in Capricorn. Uranus is in Aquarius. Mars is hanging out and will be for a long time in Gemini. Saturn is in Leo. Venus is in Leo. And Mercury just tipped right on back into Virgo. And if that means absolutely nothing to you, that's okay. If it sounds a little bit different, good. I got your attention. Let me see. We're going to have a guest today. Her name is Angie Campbell. I've known her for about 2 decades. And we're doing something a little bit different because it's Halloween. Yes, this is an astrology show, and you are invited to call in with your questions. But I've got my buddy Angie Campbell on, and she'll be on the line with us in just a little bit. She is a tarot reader, and she subscribes to being a pagan. And I thought, you know, for Halloween, that's what we need. I'd like to see hear the pagan perspective, which I am not, but... you know, it's fun to do that, certainly on Halloween, and it's also helpful when you learn about other people. You know, people get frightened because of what they don't know. You know, it's the unknown that scares us, which is half the fun of Halloween. But when you know people, when you see them in your community, when you watch their children grow up, you can breathe deep and say, wow, you know, yeah, nice person there. You know, when they go out to a barbecue or a picnic, you know, they got potato salad and, you know, sodas just like the rest of us. So, anyway, she'll be calling in for in a minute or two. What I wanted, let me see. If you're looking at the BBS site now, you'll know that Don chose this week to upload to the new servers and everything. And last week, well, I wasn't on last week, but 2 weeks ago, I asked everyone to experiment with this Mercury retrograde. It'll be going direct in a day. And just try something new. Try something, you know, obviously not hugely important to your life, but try something new and to see if how easy it was for it to happen. So what I did was I thought, well, you know, let's see if the proof is in the pudding. I changed web hosters. Instead of waiting another week, I changed web hosters, which was simple enough to do. I am supposed to be the new site. Now, if you go to the site, mybirthchart.com, it looks exactly the same, and same with searchbythestars.com. They'll look exactly the same. Tomorrow, the design of my birth chart is supposed to change, and I'm going to do it right as Mercury is stationed, where it appears to be standing still in the sky, and we'll just see how that is. Now, why tomorrow? Why am I doing that tomorrow? Well, two reasons. One, because Mercury is stationed. I thought that would be an interesting experiment to run. And the other thing is that's when I usually change. I do free weekly horoscopes that you can see. They're sidereal horoscopes, so your birthday may appear different than what you're used to. But I guarantee you, if you try this and keep on looking at it, you know, the light bulb will go on. That's all there is to it. The light bulb will go on and you say, man, this makes so much more sense. But anyway, so I put up my free weekly horoscopes. I post them on Thursday evenings, and they run Friday to Friday, and I post them up on Thursday evenings because in Australia, people start waking up about 6 a.m. in the morning, and that's about when they're hitting, you know, the site. So I like to get them up for the folks over there in Australia that do read the horoscope pages. So we will see. I am asking everyone, and it'll be up there on the website, to email me and say yay or nay, do you like the new look? and, you know, if you can email me right now, I have to chuckle because when the site flipped over to the new web hoster, my mail somewhere is stuck in cyberspace. So if you have written me in the last couple of days, I usually, you know, get the emails and I either respond to them. If I can respond quickly, I respond online. If not, you know, we pull some out of the hat and I respond here on the show. But if you have emailed me, I may not have gotten it yet. So About 3 days worth. So, is today Wednesday? Yeah, about 3 days worth. So, I will be catching up to things. And if you've ordered anything, I'm afraid I haven't gotten those either. So, yeah, it's been a little bit of a Mercury retrograde, but not too awful. I'm sure it'll be okay. Let me see. What else did I want to bring up? Experimenting, designs. Oh, the election, which the primaries, of course, are about 2 months away, but a lot of local elections across the country will be happening in another week. And I was quite gratified to see that Mercury was direct when they were during this time period. It does cause problems, and I know we've had two guests on that have said, no, Mercury retrograde is not as horrible as everyone thinks it is, and it's not, but it certainly has caused it, or seemed to have caused, we'll leave it at that, long lines on Election Day, and of course the famous, what will go down in history as, that Florida thing between Bush and Al Gore, where, Al Gore actually did get more of a popular vote, but he lost to the Electoral College and all those miscounted votes. And that was done on a day that Mercury stationed. It started to go retrograde on that day. So this time Mercury will be direct, and hopefully the lines at the polls will be shorter, run smoother. Not shorter because fewer people are voting. I'd like to encourage everybody to get out and vote. But there will be less problems. So that would be what I would hope for. All right, what else in the news today? I wanted to talk about before she called in. I don't know how many people have seen it. There is a scientist, and he truly is a scientist, Aubrey DeGray, and he is predicting and doing scientific research that will extend the lifespan by 900 years, quite a bit. Now we're not talking 10 or 20, we're talking 900. Somebody asked me this morning, it came out in the newspaper around here this morning, Washington Post, and I'm sure, several other papers across the country, what astrologically, would there be anything to substantiate this at all? And the only, I will be honest, I'm not sure, I'm sure in his chart, quite a bit is showing. If you can extend a human being's lifetime that much, it would have to do with, I would think, because the only big changes that have happened recently, when I say recently, I'm talking the last couple of years, Saturn wouldn't do it because that doesn't change that much. I mean, it changes every 2.5 years. But Pluto went into Sagittarius in 2005 for the first time and then came back into 2006. And for those of you who say, oh, no, Pluto's at the end of Sagittarius, where the center of the galaxy is, that is tropical. If you could see it through a telescope, and you can, Pluto was actually in the beginning of the constellation Sagittarius, and that's where the center of the galaxy seems to be, or the center from our perspective. So that's the only thing. That was a question I got that I said I would answer on air. I will be looking to find Mr. DeGray's birth information to see why in the world, this is what he has been interested in. It was an MIT Technology Review Challenge prize that he was after, so we'll see. Well, that sounds like our guest coming in. Angie Campbell, is that you?
Yes, and it sure is.
Yes, I'm so glad to hear you, girl. I introduced you briefly before, but let me say again that I've known Angie for a couple of decades. That's a nice way to put it. And,
indeed.
Yeah, possibly 3 decades, actually.
And several lifetimes.
Yeah. And, she has been doing tarot now for well over 30 years. And, one form or another. She taught when I had a bookstore in Occoquan, Virginia, that she was actually my tarot teacher. And she's also a practicing pagan. Is that the best way to put it?
Not
Wiccan.
So.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're not Wiccan. You're a pagan, which is, there are differences. So, with it being the day that it is, I thought it would be fun to have you on the air, of course, and ask you some questions having to do with Halloween and tarot.
Well, I do appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank you. All right, let's start out, with the first one. you know, Halloween, of course, is a secular holiday in the USA today, literally started by the candy companies in Chicago, you know, and which is okay. That's fun. But what significance does it hold for the average pagan? And I know you can't speak for, you know, from Boston down to the tip of California, but the average pagan, you think, living in the United States?
Well, for me, it's a mixture of a lot of fun, the secular activities, and that's geared towards those pursuits for part of the day. But I tend to keep the evening as a time for me, for introspection, a time to you know, reestablish my beliefs and get myself centered. It's a very good time for that. There's a lot of positive energy out there available.
Is it, you're thinking, when you say that, is it more like a, almost a New Year's or more like a Thanksgiving?
It's, I would say a Thanksgiving. For me, I view it as a Thanksgiving. It's a way to review what I've had for the year, the blessings that I've been given, and, you know, appreciating all of that and getting ready for the quiet time that is winter.
That is, okay. And that makes it. It sounds joyful. You know, I don't know how else to put that. It sounds like there's a lot of joy in that.
It's definitely a celebration.
Yeah, I'm glad you said, you know, or, you know, mentioned that part of it, you do enjoy the secular aspect of it. I know there was a court case, a few years back or something, where two groups were trying to get Halloween out of a public school, and I think it was up in Boston, of all places. And one group was essentially a religious rite, and the other group were pagans who said, you know, this just makes fun of us. So they were actually working together to, and it got thrown out of court, but they were working together to get Halloween out of school. And for me, I thought, oh, for heaven's sakes, you know, I was just like, no pun intended. It, you know, why would you take the joy away from the kids and, you know, for either one, so...
Well, I know that when my children were young, their school had the same issue, and they settled it by having it a fall festival, which I thought covered all the aspects. They
it
were
does.
Able to celebrate everything and still dress up and have fun, and it it made people comfortable.
Yeah, and that is certainly, you know, valid doing, because I think that even the, you know, other people in the country wouldn't know where it was, but we have over here what's called the McLean Bible Church, which is this huge Baptist church in the area, and even they have a fall festival, and the children come and they're dressed up in whatever they want to dress up, and you know, I think it is kind of the kickoff of the Thanksgiving season, which we tend to ignore. You know, it just kind of flops right into the rest of the gift buying and giving season. But yeah, it is a thankful time. I like that. Let me ask you, how do you see? Because you know, of course, you were my tarot teacher, and you know that, you know, I do tarot myself. But you know, I would certainly ask your opinion first. And I do astrology. How do you see where they complement each other, and you know what the differences are for the average person out there that, you know, just doesn't know, like, okay, just for them it just gets lumped into one category.
Right. Well, as far as the symbols of astrology are all over tarot. You have the basics, the ones that everybody recognizes, the sun, the moon, the stars. And those elements of the, you know, are represented all over the tarot. And they come into play anytime you do a reading, when the moon is available, and when the moon is, you know, on the card, your interpretation of it lends you in a particular direction, more than a different direction than it would take you if there was the sun, which is a different aspect. And the difference is astrology, as I see it, tends to be a little more concrete, because the planets are where they are, and the influences that they have are just that. How you choose to react to them is completely up to you. When it comes to the tarot tends to be, I have found, a little more influenced by your personal energy. I'm not sure if you would like, I can try to explain that.
Try to explain that, because I know what you're talking about. Because I've seen different readers, you know, myself included, when we view different cards or sequences of cards, we read it a little bit different. So, you know,
true.
Yeah.
Okay, if I'm having a particularly bad day, and I try to do a reading for myself or for someone, it tends, you view things with that aspect. You know, it colors what you see.
Okay.
In the same way that you react to somebody when you're out. If you're having a good day, you're going to react to them even if they're being rude or whatever. If you're having a really good day, you're not going to let them spoil that. Your mood is going to color your reaction. And sometimes the energy that you put forward whenever you do a reading in tarot can come through.
You know what? And I come to think of it, I have seen that. I have seen readers who consistently, no matter whose cards they're reading, they'll, after a while, will say, you have mother issues. You know, it's like, okay, does everybody have mother issues, or is it because you have mother issues?
In psychology, it's called projection.
Yeah, that's it. It's just projection. Okay, so yeah, that is certainly valid there. How do you see that they complement each other?
Well, as you know, many times I will do a reading if I have questions or whatever. I'm trying to get a little insight onto something that has just gotten me stumped. And it will give me an answer, but it won't give me in-depth or give me, I need some more insight. And that's when I call you. And say, Ted, you know what? I have this going on, and can you give me an idea of what planets are pulling on me or what influences are pulling on me right now that might be leading me to feel this way?
That makes sense. I'll tell you, you know, my thought with the differences a lot of times is, because with the planetary aspects, there can be, you know, several influences going on at once. And if I can't pull out which is what, you know, what's doing, a tarot reading about a specific subject will say, okay, that's what this one is about.
Right.
And it can, you know, tarot can get me through, you know, and I learned that from you. It's like, okay, I got this specific area of concern, you know, which is it and how will it resolve itself that, you know, may or may not, you know, it's like, how do I pull that out of, you know, that string out of the warp and weave of the chart.
And sometimes, again, it goes back to the what you're physically feeling, your physical mood, your emotional mood colors the reading, and therefore it makes, maybe I can't see what I'm reading, and that's when I ask you, okay, can you please help me to, you know, clarify this a little bit? So I think we both do the same thing, but we come at it from different angles.
Yeah, very much so. What cards tend to flip people out the most?
That's fine. The same ones seem to flip the same people out. I seem to flip people out universally. There is the Death card.
Yeah. Isn't that number? Go ahead with the Death card.
And the Death card and the Tower are the two, the Tower of Destruction. They tend to be the two that give people the most heartburn.
Number 13. My mind just went blank. Which one's 13?
The Tower.
Okay. There you go.
But the thing is because people tend to see things in a very black and white manner, death is not necessarily, and I don't see death as a bad card. I don't see the Tower as a bad card. Okay, there are one or two others that when I see them, I get more heartburn than those two. Death can be, it doesn't necessarily have to be a physical death. It can be an end. It just means an end, the end of a situation, the end of an era, the end of a, you know, it is an end. And for every ending, there is a beginning. Goes to that old saying, when a door closes, a window opens.
That's it. I think I even remember someone getting a reading. They were getting married, and, you know, the Death card was in there.
Absolutely. I remember that.
Yeah. Because
and they were really freaked out, and I was like, but no, your single life is ending.
Yeah,
this
that's
life
it.
That you have been living is ending.
Yeah,
and that window is opening, and you're starting a new one.
You
put that poor bride at ease a little bit.
I do remember. I was just thinking, it's all coming back. You're talking about, which are the ones that you don't like seeing? Just, you know, for your own personal, like, you know, what are the ones that you like, meh?
Well, let me, if I can, real quick.
Okay,
the tower, the Tower of Destruction is the other one that really gives people a lot of heartburn. And the tower, because of the pictures that you generally see, is this large tower with lightning striking it and bodies falling out of it. Well, I read it as a shock to the system, okay? It doesn't mean you're going to fall out of something really tall and splatter. It means that you're going to get a wake-up call.
Okay.
Okay? And for me, you want to know what cards don't I like?
Yeah.
I would have to say the Ten of Swords is one that gives me heartburn.
Yeah. And
the Ten of Swords and and it's the swords that always do it because it's strategy and what you should do, and I don't like sharp things.
No. Yeah, for everyone who's not familiar with what that card looks like, it's a guy lying face down in the mud with 10 swords, like, jammed in his back. It is not a pleasant picture.
No, it's not. It's not. And I know one that gives you particular heartburn is also one of the swords.
Yes.
The Three of Swords.
And again, for everyone else that does not know, the Three of Swords is got three swords that runs right through a heart. And as Angie, though, told me years ago, look, the heart is not bleeding. It's not ripped in shreds. It's still in one piece. But you're right. I have a knee-jerk reaction to that card.
Yeah. It's all a personal thing, too, when you see them. Many people don't care for them. But I don't like anything that looks like has trust and betrayal issues, which tends to have a lot of those in there when it comes to the, like, the Ten of Swords.
That makes sense. Of course, we just talked about all those, but what cards do you think are most often misinterpreted? And one of the reasons I was asking you this is because even some of the, you know, what looks like happier cards, I have seen wide interpretations, or people, if you're laying cards for them, will look at it and they'll immediately have, they already have formed in their head, oh, well, this must mean this. And, you know, the reader will say, well, actually, you know, I'm going to read it as this.
Right. I have found that one particular suit of cards that tends to give a little more problem than others would be the cups, which tend to represent, I read them as it's love and fulfillment, things like that. And when people see those, they all automatically think, oh, this is all hunky-dory. Well, no, it doesn't. It isn't. Just because you have them doesn't necessarily mean that everything's all good.
You know, that is so true. I know when people ask relationship questions, they often get cups, but that's because they're asking about a relationship question, not necessarily it's a great relationship.
Exactly. The cards that get misinterpreted, again, would be the Death and the Tower.
Yeah, okay.
Both get very, very much are misinterpreted. And the other thing that bothers people is when their cards are read, when the cards come up inverted or upside down.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of
people, and I have, in my experience, I've not found it to mean, say, that it means the opposite. In my experience, it means it has come up to be the same thing, just to a lesser degree. So while you may have a card that represents money coming your way out of the blue, as in the One of Coins or the Ace of Coins, money coming to you out of the blue, if it's upside down, well, instead of winning the lotto, then maybe you're just going to find a $5 bill.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. It is coming out of the blue, but yeah, and to a lesser degree. All right, that's a good way to describe that. You know, the one you haven't mentioned is the devil. And I know some decks it's more attractive than others, and some are like,
sure.
Oh, that's kind of gross. I have found this when people have got, like, you know, I say mild addictions, but, you know, cigarettes are not mild addictions, but they're still, you know, it's that kind of stuff. It's like, all right, I can't stop doing this. Could be chewing my fingernails, which is a little bit more neurotic than anything else. But what, you know, with that card, you know, does it give people the same reaction, or is it more easily explained away? What do you find with that?
That honestly is one card that I really don't care for when it comes, because of, like you said, addictions, and it lends itself to entrapment.
Mm.
But I don't. I can see the devil in a lot of things. I see it more as a thing, not as a person or an entity.
Right, yeah, I'm thinking it's more of a thing card as anything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, traffic
absolutely.
This morning on 95 could have pulled up that card.
I know someone should have it as their license plate.
Yes, that's it. Let me see. What decks do you like? You know, and there's all kinds of different decks, but what decks do you like?
Therein lies one of my addictions. I have a collection of decks, and but whenever I need or want to do a reading, I always return to my Rider White deck, which is the one that most people recognize as a tarot deck. I mean, tarot decks have been around since the 1400s.
Right.
But the Rider White is the one that most people associate with tarot. And I have, I find that that's the one I'm the most comfortable with. I do have, the imagery on them I find very comforting, very pleasant, very, when I need it to be strong, it's strong. One of the most beautiful decks I've ever encountered is one done by Salvador Dali.
Isn't it gorgeous? I love that deck.
Which is an absolutely beautiful deck, and I don't read with it, but I do take it out and look at it just because the pictures are fabulous. The only other one I think that I do read with would be one done by Aleister Crowley.
Yeah, see, I won't go near that one. same thing, and it's a very powerful deck. I find it
absolutely.
An incredibly powerful deck. You know, and that's, I have it. You know, someone gave it to me. I've got it. It's a very powerful deck, but it's one that I generally do not pick up. What do you have any particular rituals? I am probably the worst one, you know, because I'll go and do readings and people are waiting for me to put out a special cloth or, you know, light candles. And yes, sometimes I absolutely center myself, you know, for different types of readings, but I personally have no particular rituals involved. It's like I can shuffle, I'll shuffle the cards, I'll do that. Do you have any that, you know, you find help you get a better reading, essentially?
Absolutely, and this is one area where I tend to be a little obsessive compulsive. And when I was teaching, like you mentioned, it at your store in Occoquan, I did try to show, and it was more, it's more of a respect for the cards in my mind.
Yeah.
Bottom line, my cards are my cards. I do not let other people handle them unless I give them permission. That may sound a little,
No, because this is, whatever helps people, I find rituals in life are important. Even some, to me, one of my more important rituals that I insist on as a family here is that we set the dinner table and sit down and eat dinner as a family.
Absolutely.
Yeah, rituals. Yeah,
it's a very important thing. No, it's a very important thing. Now, some people adhere to the belief that you need to put on soothing music, and if that's what works for them, that's fine. But their aspect of soothing music may not be mine, and vice versa. I'll put on a little Aerosmith or a little...
Or
I'll put on some Metallica, and I'll get centered, and I will sit down and do my cards. Now, as far as laying out my cards, depending on where I am, if I'm in my own home, I feel comfortable enough that I can sit on the floor and do it. I can sit on the bed because I know the energy in my house.
That makes sense.
If I'm someplace else, I prefer to have something to lay them on simply because it's sort of like a barrier between what might have gone on there before.
Okay, and that's, all right, that you know, it makes as much sense as anything else, and I could,
well, and but there's
also
one
being
other... I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. I was saying also being a mom in my house, there could be crumbs everywhere. Well, you're a mom, too, but yours are way past that stage.
Right. The one thing that I always tried to stress when I was teaching, and I do stress this when people ask me about certain things when it comes to tarot, is when they lay out their cards. Or when you mentioned shuffling, and if you're comfortable shuffling them like you do a regular deck of cards, like a deck of pinochle cards or whatever, that's fine. I do a side-to-side shuffle because it doesn't change whether the cards are upright or inverted. They come out the way they're supposed to be. And it also makes the sense, it makes it, when you lay them out, you don't take from bottom and turn to top because you've then changed whether that card was inverted or not.
Ah, yes, you taught me that.
This is why I always deal from the side. I take the top card to the side and turn it over, and just basically turn it over because then, and if it comes up inverted, oh, well, there it is.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, I remember you taught me that, and it does actually make more sense. I mean, quite a bit.
Because you could just change.
Yeah, you could.
It could just change the way a reading was going to come out or the meaning or whatever by just that simple thing.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, actually, that does have a correlation in astrology, because if somebody is having Mars, transiting Mars, conjunct their Saturn, it is an entirely different reading than Saturn conjunct their Mars. And for people out there, if transiting Mars is conjunct your Saturn, that is a time you either go to your boss and say, hey, look, I really want this to happen, or if you're trying to convince your spouse, you know, to do something, that's a good time to do it. Or if you're just trying to change people's opinion about something, that's a good time to do it. Saturn transiting your Mars is very different. That is the time, if you mess up in society, it's going to come back and bite you on the butt. Everything from traffic tickets to tax to, you know, getting letters, nasty letters from your homeowners association. And you really have got to stop and pay attention to that. It's a same planets, different readings. And I know I didn't ask you earlier about this, but it goes back to the tarot. What in the order of the cards? What, you know, did you want to say anything about that? Because you can get, you know, 10 cards in a reading. What positions are going to say, okay, pay attention to this one, that one just tells me what was going on?
When I read, I read from the center out, and the center I designate as myself or whoever the reading is for. And that's me. And the card that goes over top in that center is the basis of what's going on. All the other things from it radiate out from it.
Okay. Which is, because that's, and that is good to clarify that, because I've certainly seen where some people, they're only focusing on the card, like that it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's the fifth card drawn. This is a Celtic cross we're talking about. But it's the card to the right of the first cross and cover the first and second card.
Right.
And other people focus on the very last card that's laid out. And others still focus on the one on the top of that cross and cover.
Well, and for me, they all have different, each position has a different meaning. If you're looking to I'm in the center. The card to the left is what's behind me. That's where I've come from. The one to the right is where I'm headed. The one above me is an overview, because it's up top. It's an overview of looking down on what's available to me. And the one below is the help I might be getting.
Okay.
And then if you go up the side, if you're, like you said, when you're doing the cross, if you just focus, I know a lot of people that only focus on that very last card, and I always equate those people to the ones that read the last sentence in a book.
Ah, that makes sense. You know.
Give me that last line so I know how it ends, then I'll go back and decide whether or not I like what it's saying.
Yes.
But it doesn't work that way. It all goes together. And like you said, like with the astrology, it's the influences, whether they're coming in or going out.
Yeah, okay. That makes good sense. What is, and I will let you get to lunch today. I appreciate you, you know, being
absolutely
online now. What, the last question here, what's the best way for people to learn on their own?
Read, and then when you're done, read some more. And talk to people. Ask others that read or have an interest. Don't be afraid to ask questions because we're all learning. We're walking this path and learning together, and with any luck at all, we don't stop learning. And find your comfort level. Anybody that asks me about how they can learn to read, my first response to them is to go to like a Borders or Books A Million or someplace that sells a good selection of tarot decks. Look at the cards. Look at all the different offerings. The one that is right for you, you'll be drawn to it.
Okay.
And that there will be your comfort level. And from there, if you read in a book that somebody says you must do this and that and the other, and you're not comfortable with that, you know, you have to do it at 12:04 on the third Sunday of the, you know, if you're not comfortable with that, then it's not going to work for you. But if you are an absolute type A personality and that makes you feel comfortable, go for it.
Go, okay. That does.
And read.
Yeah, and read. And,
yeah.
You know, I guess practice and just, you know, do what you do just to go through that.
And if it doesn't make sense to you, then, you know, keep exploring until you find what does make, again, what is comfortable for you.
That does make sense. Okay. You know, that is terrific advice. It is not only practical, which is my draw to it, but it is advice that works. You know, because I've seen, you know, I said Nancy was a tarot teacher in my store for, I guess, a couple of years, and I know that people that you taught got a good grasp of what they were doing. You know, and use tarot to enhance their life later on when they did have to ask questions. So, you know, kudos to you, and you are an excellent teacher. And, you know, I've always enjoyed having you in my life, even if you weren't. So, you know, that's
well,
it.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate that. It's a joy to be able to teach people something that I so enjoy myself and I firmly believe in. And to teach them to take some of the, I don't know what the word is. It's not scariness, but there's this mystic thing quality around all of this. And it doesn't have to be that way. It's like any other thing that gives you comfort and solace. You explore it. You find the best way to have it work for you.
And do it like that, yeah.
Oh.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you, ma'am. Like I said, I appreciate you stopping here in the middle of your day to do this. I will certainly be talking to you later.
Well, thank you very much. I do appreciate the opportunity.
Okay. Bye now.
And I will talk to you soon.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Okay. Well, that was Angie Campbell. Like I said, I've known Angie now for several decades, and you know, met her when her kids were little. Didn't want to mention right there on the air. Of course, she might have been happy to say she's now a grandma. And, you know, this is something that, you know, she's done. Didn't mention that she also has a degree in psychology. That, you know, and this is what she does, among other things. So, and, of course, now I'm coughing because it is Mercury retrograde. All right. Anyone has a question you want to call in, and you can either ask about tarot or Halloween or, of course, astrology. The daytime line here in the United States is 1-877-876-5227, and you are listening to Deb's the Horoscopes Lady, who is a sidereal astrologer, and that would be me. And let me see, I can't help myself because I am over here on the East Coast, Northern Virginia, very close to Washington, D.C., so I've got to talk about the upcoming election, even though the primary is way far away. I cannot help myself, so you know, please indulge me here. All right, so last night, of course, the Democrats were going at each other tooth and nail. I'm not even at this point, because Obama's chart looks, it's just not a great chart for winning, and I don't mind putting myself out there to say that, so I am. But I want to look at, Edwards and, of course, Hillary Clinton's to see, you know, what is going on in their chart, how that is going to play out. He was quite aggressive towards her, of course, so was everybody else, because she is the front runner. What I find fascinating is both John Edwards and Hillary Clinton have Gemini rising, okay? They're both Gemini risings. And actually, I think they'd be great running mates. And of course, politicians can do this. I mean, they can slice each other up, and then later on, okay, we're just buddies now, and, you know, that was just done in the name of whatever. I don't know, ego-wise, I was going to look at that in a minute, if that could happen, but they're both Gemini risings. They're both very comfortable talking. They're both very comfortable networking, and will pull in other people. Now, Hillary Clinton, when she was born October 26, 1947, the sun was in 9 degrees of Libra. If you are a tropical astrologer, you think she's a Scorpio. She is not. The sun was in Libra, as long with, well, with 1, 2, 3 other things, including her, well, it's Chiron, Venus, and Mercury. And fairness is a big deal to her. She is extremely bright. It's about thought with her. She's got water in her chart where people will say she's not compassionate enough, whatever. And I think part of that is just having Gemini rising. You know, people see the intellect. They're not getting that whole warmth and fuzzy thing, which they don't ask for. I mean, I say they don't. We as a society don't ask men for. But we ask our women, you know, essentially, can you be mamas? You know, can you be nurturing? Can you do all this? I think, she can be, certainly, and she certainly has been. I mean, she cares about health care. She cares about children. I don't know how you can get much more nurturing than that. But she's got that moon up there in her 10th house, obviously comfortable in the public, in Pisces. But the Mars issue, or the Gemini issue I was talking about, Mars, of course, is in Gemini and will be until the end of April because of the Mars retrograde coming up. It'll be spending a very long time in Gemini and going through both her first house and her and John Edwards' first house. And what that means, if you have sidereal Gemini rising, okay, you have to make sure it's sidereal. And I use the whole house sign system. So each house is the size of a constellation. It's 30 degrees. And yes, I know constellations are different in sizes, but for the sake of this chart, there's all 12 have 30 degrees. They're each the same size. And I find this works for me, and I know other sidereal astrologers like Campanus, I think it's pretty much one of their favorites, or Porphyry, some of them. I use Porphyry also. So it may fall first or second house. I mean, not first. Well, yeah, 12th or first house for some of them, but for the way I'm reading it, it's all first house. And what the first house is about, which is what I want to get to, it is creating a new you, a new image, so people see you differently. And I find this fascinating because both she and John Edwards are doing this, and they're going to have to do it, you know, in order to stay on top or pull forward to the top. Now, his first house is packed. It's got Mars in there itself. So he just started a new Mars cycle. And anyone who was born with Mars in Gemini, sidereal Gemini, you know what that feels like because you just had, you know, this. It's almost like dump, 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 dump. You know, your heart's pounding, your foot's tapping. You want to get going. You want things to happen, and you are gearing yourself, whether you're conscious of it or not, to have a new 2-year cycle as far as where you put your energy in. What some people will do, they look like they're doing the same thing, but they've kicked it up a notch. They went out and bought more equipment for their hobby, or they're taking a class so they get put in a different position at work. They're learning JavaScript or something so they can go into a different department, you know, whatever that is. But I personally love this time because it just revs you up and it propels you into the future. So even though John's coming in as number three right now, with Mars in his first house and coming, I find it fascinating that Mars will be on his ascendant right as Mars stations and goes retrograde. Now, that means if you see it in the sky, it looks like it's standing still and then starts to go backwards. So this is all about the worldview of him and his worldview. That will be changing, too. It's like, what do I have to do to get the world's attention? You know, in a positive way, of course. So when Mars goes, it stations and then goes retrograde on November 15th, which will be after we have those elections, but on the statewide level, but it'll be sitting right there on his ascendant. And bet you dollars to donuts, something with his image, around his image, will change literally to the day. And I'll be looking in the newspapers, and I am putting this prediction out there, you know, middle of November. I'm looking November 15th, I guess international dateline, so that might be, what does it go, 14th, 15th, you know, somewhere there, 16th, that somehow his physical image will change. Could be a new car. He could go out and get a hybrid, for heaven's sakes. Could be, you know, right now he's dark suit, dark tie, white shirt, you know, might switch to a light color on the shirt, different. But something, I mean, he's got to look the part, but within that, there are certain different things that he can do. You know, absolutely fascinated with that, because this man is about quality. When he was born June 10th, 1953, the sun was in 26 degrees of Taurus. It was still in Taurus. He has a moon in Taurus and Jupiter in Taurus. The last two presidents we've had, both Bush and Clinton, both had those 12th house suns. In tropical astrology, you know, they you know, pretty much say, oh, 12th house sun, nobody will ever see you. But for heaven's sakes, it's just rising. You know, it's the dawn. That's when people see, you know, the sun appears the biggest and the brightest. Not when it's setting, but when it's rising in the east. And I have found people who have their sun in the 12th house, they can move mountains. They can do an incredible amount of work. And if it takes being in the public, they can do it. If it takes working behind the scenes, they can do it. But even when they're working behind the scenes, people in their field know them and respect them. You know, it may not be this huge, you know, it's like they'll end up with a building named after them somewhere for doing so much work, public work. And everyone who's involved with them, you know, see what they do, know what they do, and respect what they do. So, I don't know, it'd be kind of interesting to see what happens with these two. If you put both the charts together, and I do what's called a combined chart, not a, I mean, there's a couple different ways to compare people's charts so you can see how they get along together. And some just like lay one chart on top of the other, and that's when people will say, oh, you know, your son's connected to my Venus. Of course, we're good friends, yada, yada, yada. What I like to do is called a composite chart, which, again, it's pretty much mathematical, where you put, you know, the moon is added to somebody else's moon, divided in half. Okay, it's a mathematical chart, but it works, and it shows how people work together as couples or even in groups of people, what will happen. If you put John Edwards and Hillary Clinton's chart together as a composite chart, particularly for over here in Washington, D.C., what you get is a chart that has one, two, three, four trines. So they do get along well in a lot of ways. They can work together. And one, two, three squares, I'd say two oppositions and several conjunctions. So they do energize each other. They do. It's a relationship that can produce results. They would work together. They would be serious work partners together. So I don't know what they're going to do with this president's thing happening, but I would absolutely love to see them as running mates. I'm just thinking which one would run as president. They both desperately want it, understandably, and you have to, you know, if you're even going to throw your hat in the ring. But if they don't get it, I would love to see them working together on other things, because these are two people that when they are working together, you put them together, you can accomplish so much. I mean, they could take a social program and make it work, not just push it through, but actually put together a viable program that would work. I think these two could actually fix the budget, and I'm not joking. You know, it's like they could, you know, she's got, you know, this mind that just it's like a chess player's mind. You know, it can see the possibilities, see the different moves. Where he, on the other hand, is far more, he's pragmatic. He'll pull in the options, and he wants to work well with other people, but he's basically practical. So, like, you know, it either works or it doesn't work. If it doesn't work, we don't have to discuss it. We're getting rid of this option. So, again, I would love to see both John Edwards and Hillary Clinton on the same ticket, and with their charts together, even as much as anything else, they will, you know, could do this. Now, I know his insults to her were pretty steep last night, but politicians, you got to have thick skin, and they don't take any of that stuff personal. They really believe all's fair in love, war, and politics, for that matter. So there you go. Let me see. What else do I want to mention before I get off the air here? Again, my sites are switching over. One has actually switched over to the different server. Rather, I can update the horoscopes page tomorrow as I change the look of the site. That's one issue. And the other one are the PayPal buttons, if I can get those to work. We will do our best to make it all happen during this Mercury retrograde. But you can go to mybirthchart.com. That's MYBIRTHCHART, mybirthchart.com, for your free weekly horoscope, sidereal scope. And also to searchbythestars.com, and same thing. They'll have a free weekly horoscope page plus some excerpts from the book. You can find the perfect gift for anybody, type of gift, by using that site. And I'd like to encourage you, of course, to purchase things from this site, either site, because it helps support the work here I do on BBS Radio. Don here on BBS will have the Bazaar up soon, and you'll be able to buy fine products from all the, I guess, what are we? We're hosts, radio hosts that have them. And again, I encourage you, when you're thinking of shopping, go there first, because it, again, it helps support all the work that's done here on BBS Radio, get those new servers rolling, and you know, it's good work to support. So there you go. I have one more thing. I do have... Somebody had emailed me, a sidereal astrologer. Now, I cannot get to the email, so if you are listening and you're a friend of Count Grimalkin, you got a couple minutes, you can call in. And I had started to read your last email before I got, you know, I had to go do something else, and when I came back, my emails got eaten alive by cyberspace or wherever everything went to for a while. But he had mentioned, you know, how he used tarot also for, I guess, you combined it with astrology, and I apologize because I only read part of it before I had to walk out and do something else. Gentleman's name was Wayne Turner, that's right. But I would love if you wanted to call back in, or I can catch up with you at some other point to talk to you about that. We had already had this guest planned for today, but I am, certainly interested in having whatever you have to say about it. I know years ago someone came up with an astrology deck or a tarot deck that was specifically astrology oriented. So that is, it is a popular subject as well as anything else. And there you go. We're about out of time. Thanks so much for listening this week. Please tune back in next week to Deb's the Horoscope Lady. Bye now.